Hey, Tucson. I'm excited to introduce to the Creative City Show J. Kaiser Workspaces as a sponsor partner. J. Kaiser Workspaces is a full-service commercial furnishings and interior design firm in Tucson, and CEO and founder Jessica Kaiser is the real deal, leading one of Inc. 5000's fastest-growing companies in the United States. They're looking to grow their team of creative, smart, and hardworking designers passionate about designing workspaces that work. So if you lead a company that needs your workspace optimized for results, or you want to help design them as a part of her team, call now at 520-488-8978.
You're listening to The Creative City Show with Zach Yenser. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
One, two, three, that counts us in. Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to this Thursday edition of the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice, our Halloween edition, only because it happens on Halloween. We're not doing anything special for Halloween on this show. We've got a packed show, in fact, for you today, but it is October 31st, so we want to wish all of you ahead of time, if you have little kids running around, a fun and safe evening. Tucson is a beautiful place full of wonderful people, but like any place, there are characters running around, and we'll leave it at that. So just make sure that you have a plan for safety for your kids or grandkids. We wish you here at 1030 The Voice a safe and fun evening, emphasizing safe in that formula. Leave up to our news stations, not this one, but other news stations, to post maps of where all the fun characters are in town. That'll give you a little bit of a realistic look at what is often a fun evening, but has its dangers. So just be careful, have fun, enjoy dressing up, share those pictures with family, have a good time tonight. Every day, Monday through Friday, we talk about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And 2 days in a row here on the program, we'll be talking to organizations that are pivotal in the development of our youth and young people. We're going to start today's show with Susan Freese, the Community Outreach Coordinator for Literacy Connects. We're going to talk about the mission and vision of Literacy Connects, why there's a connection between literacy and poverty, and of course, that's an important conversation in Tucson. And then beginning at the bottom of the hour, looking forward to welcoming in Freefall Aerospace. Not the first time they've been on our program. They are a revolutionary intelligent antenna system for space and ground, really innovating how data is moved and transferred in a smart city and in this era of big data. Really interesting innovation out of the U of A. And they were just named Innovator of the Year as a startup company here in Arizona. They've actually been awarded two awards just this week, so we had to have them on the program. So lots of people and ideas that are creating Tucson's future. So let's welcome on in Susan Free. Susan, thanks for being here today. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thanks. Happy Halloween.
Yes, for sure. So you are the Community Outreach Coordinator for Literacy Connects. Mm-hmm. Give us the elevator speech of Literacy Connects.
Okay. So Literacy Connects is a volunteer-driven Tucson nonprofit. We served 55,000 children and adults last year through literacy and creative expression, creative arts programming. Some people like to think of us as a literacy organization. Some people like to think of us as a social justice organization. I consider Literacy Connects a social justice organization delivering its services through the lens of literacy and creative expression.
Interesting. Yeah, as I was reading through your website, I got that feel that there's a focus on literacy, but as a part of a bigger picture. Last year, the staff and more than 1,500 dedicated volunteers helped more than 50,000 individuals in Southern Arizona. Is that through reading programs and other things, or how does that service happen?
Yeah, well, we have a multitude of programs, and I can tell you a little bit about each of those, but really, What unifies all the programs is that we're working for transformational learning through student-centered, strengths-based approaches. And so we recognize that building skills is really important, right? But where the real change happens for people is when they see themselves differently, when they see themselves as a reader or a learner or a creative or an empowered citizen. That's when the real change happens in them, and then that kind of ripples out into the community. That's when they can help themselves and help others.
You know, Tucson, I think it's now maybe 8th, but certainly we've known the number for a while to be 6th. I think there's been some shift. I should have checked on that. But in a city identified as the 6th poorest metro area in the U.S., Literacy Connects aims to address Tucson's high levels of poverty at its roots. And you envision a community where every child graduates from high school, crime and poverty rates are low, a skilled workforce is fostering a thriving economy, and the arts and culture environment is second to none. I mean, you're after some of the major issues and challenges in Tucson.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, when everybody does better, everybody does better, right? And so and if you care about children, you have to care about the whole family. And that's where we're going. So we've got programs that deal with early childhood. We've got programs targeting children. We've got programs for adults. And so we're really reaching through the continuum, there's no sweet spot. You know, it's not like, oh, if we just get everybody reading by third grade, at grade level, problems will be solved. That's not it. And the creative expression piece is really important, too. Literacy Connects' mission is connecting people of all ages to a world of opportunity through literacy and creative expression. George Washington said, "To encourage literature and the arts is a duty to which every good citizen owes to his country." And so it seems like for a long time, people have been making these connections between literacy, literature, creative expression, creative arts. I kind of see that as being able to see something from a different perspective. And all of this stuff is important for a healthy democracy, and it's important for a healthy community. So, we're casting a wide net, going after a lot of things, but they are all key components in having a healthy, happy
All right, really healthy community.
Yeah, a healthy community where everyone is thriving, where everyone is making money, everyone is, you know, living a satisfied life.
So you have programs for children and programs for adults, and we have a whole segment to come to really dig into some of these, but Reading Seed empowers children to be independent readers. Stories That Soar is empowering young people to really put their original words and creative ideas on paper, which is cool. And then Reach Out and Read is a really interesting idea, giving young children a foundation for success by incorporating books into pediatric care and encouraging families to read aloud together. I don't want to cramp anything in before we have to go to our first break, but I just wanted to build on what you're sharing of here's what it looks like tangibly is. Literacy solves all these problems, and here's how we do it. And you have similar programs for adults.
Yes, yeah. So our Reach Out and Read program is really quite cool. We have pediatricians that volunteer with this program, and at every well baby checkup, they essentially prescribe reading to parents and talk about how important reading is to the child's developing brain. And we know that, you know, millions and billions of neurons are being formed at this very, very early age. And so holding your baby, cuddling your baby, reading to your baby, exposing your baby to a language-rich environment, reading to your baby, and it doesn't have to be in English. Reading to your baby is really foundational to setting your baby up for a healthy academic career.
Right. Well, we've talked about how literacy solves problems and how Literacy Connects does not shy away from some of the big challenges that can be solved by a community that is reading and discovering and continually learning. We talked a little bit about what that looks like for children. When we come back from the break, I want to get into each of those programs a little bit more, how our community can jump on in and be a part of this, and maybe how we can support the work, any events coming up, and so much more. So we are with Susan Fries, the community outreach lead for Literacy Connects. We'll be right back after the break for so much more. Freefall Aerospace at the bottom of the hour. It's a full one, so don't go away. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome on back into the show. This is Zach, your host. We are partway through our conversation with Susan Fries today, the community outreach coordinator for Literacy Connects. And I'm paraphrasing, but Literacy Connects really operates off of the vision that by providing opportunities for literacy and lifelong learning, that we can get to a community where every child graduates from high school, crime and poverty rates are low, a skilled workforce is fostering a thriving community, and the arts and culture environment is second to none. And all that creates the P word, right? Prosperity. Prosperity for all, a thriving community for all. And I want to make sure that our listeners and myself really know what are the tangible ways that Literacy Connects is doing this in the community. If someone just jumped in, could you outline real quick, Susan, some of your programs for children, but you also have some ESL and basic literacy programs for adults as well.
Right.
So can you flesh that out a little bit for us?
Yeah, sure. We have two programs for kids. One really focuses on the joy of reading, and one focuses on the joy of writing. And so the reading program is called The Reading Seed, and we train volunteers to go into the elementary schools and work one-to-one with struggling or resistant or emerging readers. Oftentimes, a teacher will find a kid who says, I hate reading, I don't want to read, reading is boring, reading is hard. And so those are the kids we're aiming to work with. And so a coach will be matched with a student, and the point is not to teach reading. You know, the kids have teachers for that. The point is to make it fun and to develop a relationship with a child and find out what that kid is interested in. So, you know, if you think about it, kids don't have really a lot of choice in their day. We tell them when to get up, maybe they get a choice of what to eat for breakfast. We tell them that they have to go to school and when they go to school. And when they get to school, they're told what to read. They don't have a whole lot of choice. And so this is all about student choice. And earlier I talked about being student-centered. So this is that student-centered approach. So the coach will go in, take a bunch of books that on a topic that the kid likes, or maybe by an author that the kid likes, and they just explore, and there's no curriculum. It's all kind of student-led. And what we find, and what the data demonstrates, is that at the end of the year, these kids, they're saying, I hate reading. They see themselves as readers. 95% of these kids see themselves as readers. And 93% are more engaged in school in general. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
They're seeing themselves differently, and that really has implications for the rest of their academic career. I know I have an adult student who said, you know, I wish there was a reading seed when I was a kid, because it could have changed his life.
I mean, the numbers are, as amazing as it is the work that you're doing, the numbers that you're facing are scary, right?
Yeah.
More than one third of American children enter kindergarten without the basic language skills they will need to learn. 72% of Arizona fourth graders, 72% of Arizona fourth graders are not at reading level.
Mm-hmm.
That number barely gets better when we talk about middle school. 64% of eighth graders are reading below grade level.
Yeah.
I mean, this is serious stuff.
Yeah, and it can be a little disheartening. So we want to be strengths-based and focus on what's going right and what's working. And we know that this program works. And we are currently in 35 different schools in the area school districts. We're serving around 1,500 kids. We know it's a drop in the bucket, But we are making strides. Now, what's holding us back is, are two things, really. Money and volunteers. Mm-hmm. So all of our services to our students are free. But, of course, they're not free to implement. If we had more volunteers, we could possibly reach out to more schools and get more kids. We're really wanting volunteers for this program who are willing to travel, because where we're really needing some help is down in the Sunnyside area,
okay.
Down by the airport and south of the airport.
Yeah. What I love about our listening audience, and we get to know so many of them, is that they are long time involved and passionate about our community. Mm-hmm. And have resources and energy to be able to invest. Our time is just passing so quickly, but I wanted to talk about this number. And again, I'm encouraged by what you're doing. I'm trying to create a contrast of Literacy Connects is doing great work because the challenges are so great. Nationally, 43% of adults are at the basic or below basic level of literacy. So you work with children, mm-hmm. but you also have some literacy efforts for adults as well. One mm-hmm. out of two adults are at a basic or below basic level of literacy. That's a scary number.
Yeah, and we don't think of it being in Tucson because it's such an educated town. A lot of people with low literacy really want to stay under the radar. They're very good at compensating and keeping their secret hidden. But yeah, we're looking at like 500,000 people in Arizona who have reading levels below fifth grade equivalency. Mm. So we do have programs for adults. We have from very, very basic, really emerging readers and writers and mathematicians, all the way up to GED.
Yeah.
And we also have GED classes that are taught in Spanish.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah,
there we have a caller on the line who many of us will know, who knows a little something about literacy and the schools. Dustin Williams is on the line, the Pima County Schools Superintendent. Dustin, I appreciate you listening and calling in. Great conversation. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Susan and Literacy Connects.
Good morning, Dustin.
I just wanted to kind of give my little 2 cents for what it's worth. I've been an educator for about 20 years, obviously, and, you know, kind of the umbrella for the county. And I meet literally hundreds and hundreds of people and hundreds of programs. And when you're done with all these meetings, you're left with some golden gems in your hand that you can really pick out and say, these truly make a difference. And Literacy Connects is 100% one of those golden gems. I actually did some teaching at a school called Keeling Elementary, which is in the Amphi district back in the day. And that's where Literacy Connects also camps out at and helps a bunch of students that really need those extra hands. And that one-on-one connection that Literacy Connects gives is truly where you make the difference with a student and the ability of becoming a reader that most importantly loves to read and then also, you know, can comprehend and have all the skills to do good. So I'm really glad to see that you guys are on the air this morning, and I want the community to truly understand that if you can support Literacy Connects in any way possible, this is absolutely a fantastic program.
Dustin Williams, that means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to Susan.
Yeah, thank you, Dustin.
That's an endorsement we couldn't plan for, and we didn't, which makes it even better. Dustin Williams, Pima County Superintendent of Schools, thank you, sir. And let's segue into that as we wrap up our time together. Susan Fries, you head up community outreach. And that's what we're doing today. And so on the website, literacyconnects.org, you asked the question that I'm going to ask, how can I help? And you outlined volunteering, donation of books, and donation to Literacy Connects. So our listeners are, I'm sure, bought into Literacy Connects after our conversation, Dustin's phone call, want to get plugged in. How do we do it?
Yeah, so we have volunteer information sessions twice a month, the second Tuesday and the fourth Tuesday of the month, if you're interested in volunteering for any of our programs. We have Reading Seed and then our two adult programs. We do have other programs that don't use volunteers, but those are the ones that do. And we love our volunteers. We have opportunities for people who don't want to volunteer as reading or writing or math instructors. I mean, we're a business just like everybody else. If you're a handyman, if you have a special talent in the office, we can use your assistance as well. Donors they keep us going because we don't take, you know, we have grant writers, but we don't take any money from the state of Arizona. This is really a community invested project. And more than half of our working budget is from individual donations. Free to our students. Every service is free to our students. And there are very simple ways that if you don't have time to volunteer or you don't have money to donate, you know, you can do something as simple as sign up on Amazon Smile or Fry's. You know, if you designate us as your nonprofit of choice, we get a little bit of money every time you shop. It doesn't cost you anything.
So many easy ways.
Yeah.
And if anyone is driving or wasn't maybe able to take a note down, literacyconnects.org. Couldn't be easier. Organizationname.org, literacyconnects.org. Any last notes, Susan Freese, before we head to our bottom of the hour news?
Yeah, I would love to invite everyone to our annual Get Connected fundraiser event. It's Tuesday, November 12th at the Tucson Convention Center. It's just a one-hour program, 12 to 1. It's free. We have a $100,000 challenge grant, so your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $100,000. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and we're going to have some really tremendous and inspirational student speakers.
Super. Susan Freese, I really appreciate you coming into the studio, sharing about Literacy Connects, and we should do this again soon.
Let's do.
Thank you so much. Support Literacy Connects, Tucson. When we come back from our break, the Innovator of the Year Startup Company category is in studio with me in just a minute. Don't go away. We'll be right back on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back to the second half of our hour. You're listening to the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. Every day, Monday through Friday, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And you know that we like to talk about here on the air the innovation economy in Tucson. I like to say that Tucson talks about its tacos and trails more than we do our tech and talent. Tucson talks about its tacos and trails more than we talk about our tech and talent because we have it here in Tucson. And many of us don't realize the innovation, the ideas bubbling out of our city. And so when I saw a friend of the show and a friend of the community start winning awards like crazy, I said, we have to get you in studio. And so Free Fall is a company that has been developed out of the University of Arizona, and they won last evening Innovation Leader of the Year. And before that, I think late last week, they were awarded Innovator of the Year Startup Company by the Arizona Commerce Authority and more. So big congratulations to all of them. And I think we've got all their mics set up. And so I want to say, now that they're in studio, congratulations to you.
Thank
all.
You.
What a big week.
It was huge.
Big was 7 days.
Zach, thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely.
Very exciting.
And congrats to you being 40 under 40
thank
award
you.
Winning.
I appreciate
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun surprise to hear. So, and there was I was telling somebody the other day that I am always amazed and equally ashamed in a good way of how many of those 40 under 40 I don't know, right? Because in Tucson, we get this feel, we're a small town, we all know each other. And every year, I know like five of the top 40 under 40, which again, makes me really excited that there's so many people that we don't know yet that are doing great things in Tucson. But also, why don't we know about them yet? So it's...
Well, we know Liz from Startup Tucson,
we
and that's
do know
another
Liz.
Exciting award winner.
Absolutely. Liz Alma Perata has been on the show before.
Oh, very cool.
Heath Vescovi-Chiordi, who's on the show a lot. apparently there's a connection between the show and that. I don't know, just kidding.
Yeah, if
you're on the show, you have a shot at 40 under 40.
Yeah.
Free Fall Aerospace, revolutionary intelligent antenna systems for space and ground. For anybody who wasn't able to tune in the last time you were on the air, give us the kind of 30-second elevator pitch for Free Fall Aerospace and what problem you solve.
Sure. Yeah, well, Free Fall, we're a spinoff company from the University of Arizona and developing new antenna technology. And that is being applied to small spacecraft. And of course, if you follow the space industry at all, you know that small spacecraft, CubeSats, and others are all the rage. And so we provide a very low-cost, lightweight, high-gain antenna system that really brings big data down from small spacecraft. So that's the product that we started with. The same fundamental technology is perfect for ground antennas. And then we also morphed from there into the new 5G internet system. So we have a brand new type of very low power, low cost antenna system that'll be, we think, perfect for this 5G revolution that's coming soon.
Super. And with that intro, I'm going to head over to, to Julie Bonner. Who do we have in studio? And there's a new member of the team, I believe, correct?
Yes, I'm very excited. Sitting right next to me is the one, the only, Alex Rodriguez.
Julie, thank you so much.
Not the baseball player, but...
but Tucson's
Tucson's. I like to hit my own grand slams.
Exactly.
Yesterday, I had a group in called Boys to Men, and I failed to say in my promo, Boys to Men Tucson. Okay. Actually, the host before me thought I actually had Boys to Men in the studio. But, so we have Tucson's one and only Alex Rodriguez in this interview.
Yes.
Welcome to the team.
I am extremely honored not only to be on your show, but to be part of this incredible company, Free Fall Aerospace. The technology is ripe for the markets that we're operating in. And Zach, as you might know, both the commercial space sector as well as the overall 5G market, as people know it, colloquially out there. These are massive market opportunities, and we fully expect that companies like Freefall, operating from Tucson, Arizona, will play a substantial role in bringing new market opportunity to this region.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that before we introduce the final member of the team here, who Tucson has a space sector that is growing. It can be very volatile. It is a sector that is burgeoning out of Tucson and is requiring a lot of innovation, as well as 5G. So I couldn't agree more. I think Tucson's ripe for the work that you're doing. Last introduction, Julie Bonner. Indeed.
Hey, I'm Julie. I'm excited to be back on the show, and I'm Free Fall's marketing director.
Yes. And to your left?
Oh, and we have Doug Stetson, president and CEO of Free Fall, back again.
Yep. That was great to be here.
That was the first voice you heard.
Yes.
So Doug, Julie, and Alex, thank you all for being in here. Give us a quick recap, and then we'll dive into your awards in the next segment for sure. But you were a company that came out of the University of Arizona, another really special element of our community. If our universities are able to pump out great ideas and support them and launch them into the community, that's a big deal to our near-term and future success. So what was your journey in and out of the University of Arizona?
Yeah, well, we like to say that we started in the stars, and that really sets us apart from other companies that are also working to develop new antenna technology. My co-founder with the company is Professor Chris Walker in the Department of Astronomy Stewart Observatory at the university. And Chris and I were working together on projects for his high-energy radio astronomy research, and we realized that a lot of the systems that he was developing could have revolutionary implications for communications from small spacecraft, from space to ground, and then stations on the ground. So we developed a concept for the company. The technology was licensed to us by the university through the process that's managed by Tech Launch Arizona, and that was very effective in getting us going as a startup company. With that intellectual property licensed to us, we were able to go out and get a couple early contracts, really got some momentum, hired a few people, and this was back in early 2017, and things really took off from there. We were able to kind of demonstrate the potential of this technology, and the real magic moment for us came when Fletcher McCusker and his group, UA Venture Capital, found out about what we were doing, got very interested, and that became our seed round investment, which really kind of made us a real company. And that was in that was about a year and a half ago. So all of those things came together rather quickly, and we've been going fast ever since. And now we have prototypes of all of our antenna systems working in our labs. We're just getting ready to roll those out for customer demonstrations. So it's really an exciting time for us.
Yes, go ahead.
And Zach, as Doug was saying, you know, I think Freefall Aerospace is part of a very unique, a broader story in Tucson, in our region here. A lot of positive things are aligning well so that we're able to capitalize on the amazing research and cutting-edge innovation that's coming out of the University of Arizona. The key here is to get it into market and have a positive impact on the economy. So for me, as a newest team member of Freefall Aerospace, one of the major attractions was this tie-in, this nexus, if you will, with the University of Arizona, with local investors, and with powerful technology.
You know, the mayor brought a few mayors from around the country together a couple weeks ago now for a Building Innovative Cities Day, a day where he wanted to focus on how do we really kickstart and continue the momentum out of our innovation ecosystem here. And what was emphasized to a large degree is that the success of an innovation economy really depends on how engaged, how invested, how driving the university is, and if the university is behind this and they're supporting startups and they're casting some vision and they're working with the city at large, things just go a lot more smoothly, a lot faster. And I really think that Freefall Aerospace is a real example of how that works when it works. And so it's exciting to see a real life example. And Julie, as someone who gets to tell the story, you've got to be pretty excited about where things are going.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Number one, I love Tucson. I've been here 16 years, and I'm so happy that of any place we could have the startup, we're in Tucson. And I also love the tie-in with not only the U of A, but we're working with local partners like ED2, on developing our prototypes. We're working with other kind of fabricators for different pieces and parts, and we're really trying to keep it local. Right. And I love that.
Oh, that's, I'm so glad that you mentioned that. That I think the term that's out there is primary jobs, right? Is Freefall is a primary job creator. When you succeed, then you start to sow into the local economy, whether you hire directly or you work with local companies to provide the, you know, the inputs that you need. So it's just fun to see it all come together. Well, Julie and I were talking, like I said, within the last week, there's been two major awards, both recognizing you as innovation leaders at a state level. We booked this show just based on one, and then this morning Julie goes, "We just got another one." So when we come back from the break, I want to hear what those awards were for and why Freefall won them and what it says about Tucson and what our potential is as an innovation economy. And we'll spend our last few precious minutes that way together. Thank you, Alex and Julie and Doug, for coming in. So much more to go, Tucson. Don't go away. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson likes to talk about its tech, its tacos and trails, more than its tech and talent. We're trying to change that here on the Creative City Show. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back to the program. I just want to get your calendar set while I have you here for the next week. I was talking to a friend the other day, And we were starting to schedule for November, and we both went, that's like 2 days from now. So yes, tomorrow is November, which means next Monday is our first full week of November. And we'd love for you to plan to join us here on the air, 9 to 10, our hour, every day, Monday through Friday. On November 4th, that's Monday, George Hammond, economist from the U of A, comes into the studio to talk about some of the recent economic numbers. So we've seen that in the news. George Hammond, an expert, is going to come in and share what those numbers mean. November 5th, Superintendent Trujillo, TUSD superintendent, will be in for the full hour. We're going to talk education in Tucson. He asked if that could be a monthly show, so we're going to do that monthly here on the program. And then speaking of the man himself, November 6th, that's Wednesday, Fletcher McCusker comes in. And he was Businessman of the Year. So we're going to, and he runs U of A Ventures, which really helped Freefall Aerospace get off the ground. No pun intended, but maybe pun intended. But so a full week next week of just people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. But we're with three of those individuals today here in studio as we wrap up our hour. Freefall Aerospace was awarded Innovator of the Year startup company last week at a statewide level. Maybe start with Julie, sure. and then head to whoever wants to fill in. Tell us about that award at a statewide level, what it recognizes, and what it says about you and Tucson that you won it.
Well, number one, we were in shock and thrilled that we won that award. It was amazing. People in our category, including Tucson's Courtney Williams with VistaScan, and then also Quick, really awesome startups. They're doing really incredible things and are going to help a lot of people. So that event was very awesome. It was in Phoenix. It was statewide. It's called the Governor's Celebration of Innovation, put on by the Arizona Technology Council and the Arizona Commerce Authority. We're very proud because Tucson represented at this award ceremony.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
So not only we had won under the innovation startup category, but like you said, Fletcher McCusker won Ed Dennison Business Leader of the Year. We had other people from University of Arizona win top awards, and James Wyant won Lifetime Achievement Award, and we were all representing Tucson up in Phoenix, and it felt really great.
And Julie, I've been attending the Governor's Celebration of Innovation for years, and I can tell you, Zach, that last week was a clean sweep for Southern Arizona. It was a very impressive moment because so many of these technologies that are now hitting the market are really starting to pay off.
Totally.
And so folks around the state now know of this potential that we have here.
I love it. And you're hearing the new COO of Freefall Aerospace, Alex Rodriguez, here on the mic. I'm going to editorialize for a minute. And so whatever I say, don't necessarily pin that on Freefall, but I'm going to editorialize. don't worry, I saw Julie's look. But I think often there's a feeling that in Arizona, I've heard the phrase, it often feels like a one city state, often that Phoenix gets all the love, all the investment, all the ideas, all the press. And I think an aspect of changing that, of rebranding that, of shining a light on what is happening in all of our great cities and communities in Arizona are evenings like this, honestly, where there is a clean sweep, where Tucson innovators, entrepreneurs, and startups are recognized for what we have going on here. In fact, I think at some level, and I'll finish here, at some level, I think Arizona may have a better sense of what Tucson is than sometimes Tucson has a sense of what it is. And so really, I thought this was a good moment to highlight. But that's not the end of the story. You received another award last night, late breaking.
Yeah, and again, that was a huge honor for us and a privilege that to be with all our friends down here in Tucson, and that was sponsored by the Southern Arizona chapter of the Arizona Tech Council, led by Jeff Sales and his team, and they just do a fantastic job. And you know, we're very active with that group, and it's been a huge help to us. And we were awarded at the Tech Expo here at the Tucson Convention Center the award for Innovator of the Year. And again, you know, just thinking about all of the incredible companies that have been started up many from the University of Arizona and a number of others, and to be recognized in that group and then, you know, receive that award in front of, you know, all of the friends and supporters here in Tucson was quite an honor, and it was very, really a fun day, a great set of speakers led the Tech Expo discussion. There were displays and booths, some good food, and it was really a lot of fun, but it was a huge honor for us. And, we can't thank the Tech Council enough for the work that they do and for that recognition.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well deserved.
Zach, you know, it was, for me, individually, personally, an incredible moment, because not only joining Free Fall, but receiving this Innovator of the Year recognition yesterday. It was 7 years ago we had a small team come together to put together the Southern Arizona Tech and Business Expo. And it was enormously gratifying to see that here in Tucson, we had hundreds of people there, hundreds of companies represented, over 75 exhibitors, et cetera, really showcasing the very best of what's happening in town. And we had a lot of people from out of town come in as well. And so six years ago, I guess, when we first had the first one, it was a small event. And yesterday, it was at the Tucson Convention Center. It was very exciting.
Cool. Very cool. I want to finish our time together by maybe getting a sneak peek of whatever you're able to share of what comes next. What should Tucson be watching? But right before that, how do we copy and paste your success times 100 in Tucson, right? You seem to have gotten this great combination of university support, some university funding, some venture capital, some good branding, some good earned media. What does Tucson need to do to help more companies like yours have the level of success that you're having? That really changes the tide. What would you, if you could sit down with the present or future mayor of Tucson for 5 minutes and say, this is what we got to do, what would that be?
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question. I think Tucson does a fantastic job right now. And the thing that I think is so gratifying is just the support of the whole community. There's a number of, the activities from Startup Tucson and the other civic organizations that are all oriented around helping new companies get started. And we share information, there are events, there are speakers. So that education process that's going on now has really been a huge help to us. And I think, you know, building on that and keeping that momentum going and keeping that sort of, I don't know what to call it, I guess a Tucson attitude. It's not, you know, I've spent some time in Southern California, the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, et cetera. Things are different there. Things are, I guess I'd use the word cutthroat. But out here, everybody's supportive. And, that's really made their job a lot more fun and helped us be successful. So I think somehow we need to grow that, but keep that attitude of mutual support and, helping each other by sharing information and connecting with one another. That's been a huge help to us, and I hope that continues.
Thanks, Doug. I'm sure both Alex and Julie have ideas on that, but I want to make sure that we don't run out of time before we talk about what should Tucson expect to see from Free Fall Aerospace? Any exciting developments coming off this great momentum that we should be watching for? Whatever you're allowed to say at the moment.
Sure. Well, there's two things that I'll mention, and then I'm sure Alex and Julie will fill in a little bit. But we just got back last week from a large event in Los Angeles called the Mobile World Congress. It's oriented around 5G technologies. We rolled out some of our new innovative systems there, got a lot of huge reception. So we're very excited about that. That'll be coming out later this year. And then also for our spacecraft technologies, teaming up with the University of Arizona on a project called CATSAT, which will be an all-Tucson spaceflight, a small spacecraft with our antenna systems, teamed with the university and with Rincon Research. Hopefully December of next year, that will be launched, and it'll really showcase Tucson technology.
Oh, that's really cool. If you're just joining us, we're with with the Free Fall team. They're an electronically steerable, inflatable antenna, a startup and innovation that will revolutionize the way that data moves from space to ground, really tapping into the space exploration, the commercial space industry in Tucson, and 5G data innovation as well. We've got about 2 minutes on the dot. Any final words from Julie or Alex about what's next for Free Fall?
Oh, absolutely. Really emphasize Doug's earlier point for other companies in the region or those that wish to play in this market. It's really about collaboration. And so Free Fall is very excited to unveil future joint agreements that we have. We can't unveil those yet today, but we have several in the pipeline, which we are very excited about. That will help us better position ourselves in both the 5G market and the commercial space market. So it's a very exciting time.
Super. Any final words, Julie? You'll close it out for the Free Fall team, I think, at this point.
I would just say, when you brought up how could someone copy and paste what we're doing, I actually think it involves of good leadership. And so one thing I want to say about Doug is that he had said when he decided to create the startup company with Chris Walker is that I wanted to create really awesome things but work with really great people. And that set the tone. And so I work on a fantastic team of problem solvers, but we enjoy what we do. We're passionate about it. And it makes it actually fun to be a part of this and to grow together. So I think having good leadership that values what you do really gives us the energy to keep taking it to the next level every day.
Which is why I'm passionate about seeing Tucson as a place that retains great people and great ideas, because it takes both great people and great ideas. You've been recognized for your work in transforming respective industries, the technology sector. I love what you are all doing. Thank you for putting Tucson on the map here in the last week. We'll continue to do our best to support you, and we'll do this again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Free Fall team. Coming up, Doug, Jen, and Victoria, and then Bill Buckmaster at noon. Lane Santa Cruz comes in, Ward 1, City Council candidate, and so much more on our upcoming local programming. Tucson, we'll see you Friday at 9 to close out the week together. See you then.